The scripture reading this morning is from John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been laid on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I wonder what brought Mary to the tomb that morning. Other gospels would tell us that Mary came with other women to anoint Jesus' body with spices. But that is not how John tells the story. In fact, Jesus had been richly anointed with spices and ointments before the stone was ever rolled before the tomb in the Gospel of John. I wonder if Mary had even slept the night before. We find her arriving at the tomb on that Sunday morning while it is still dark outside. Had she maybe stayed in her bed and tossed and turned and been no longer able to take how the walls seemed to be closing in on her and finally just gotten up and started walking? Did she consciously set out to go to the tomb? Was she just wanting to feel closer to her Lord and teacher, and this was the only place she knew to go? I wonder what she thought when she first caught a glimpse there in the dark of the tomb? Could she tell from a distance that things did not look right? When she got close enough and could tell for sure that the stone was not where it should be, did she run that last little bit of the way? Did she have to muster up some courage there in the dark to glance into that tomb, to look and see if the body was there, wrapped in linens? Did her heart just drop? Did the tears just start to flow again? Tears that had been flowing since the day before when she had watched the unthinkable happen. Did she think to herself, when is this nightmare going to end? As she made her way to where she could find Simon Peter and the other disciple. The story shifts focus from Mary as the men then race to the tomb, as they arrive there and gather more evidence than what Mary herself had gathered. The tomb is empty, but not completely. The burial linens are there inside. Some have been very carefully placed, in fact. A grave robber does not leave the scene like that. Something else has happened here. The other disciple, the one whose name we do not know, but who is simply called the one whom Jesus loved, the other disciple takes this all in, and the scripture says he believes. He does not understand fully yet, but he believes what is before him. Somehow, Jesus has defeated death. He believes this. He knows this. But he couldn't explain it to you if you asked him to. Maybe that is why he and Peter simply return home. And I do wonder what they talked about as they went back home. I wonder if they passed Mary as she was on her way back to the tomb, if they spoke to her at all as they left. I imagine that they did not. Again, it was something that was hard to talk about, something that they were feeling but not comprehending. Something was happening. Something had happened, but it was all very unclear. So we find Mary back at the tomb again, and she is alone and she is weeping. She looks inside the tomb again. The light is much better than before. The men had gone in. What had they seen? Not what Mary sees, because Mary sees two angels. And the angels speak to the emotion that they see streaming down her face, and they ask, "Woman, why are you weeping?" The answer is easy. The answer is easy. They have taken my Lord. I don't know where they have taken him. It's all too much, don't you see? Just the other night, we were celebrating the Passover with him. Just the other night, he was with us, and now he has been ripped away from us. We will never see him again. We loved him. We love him. And now his resting place has been desecrated. It's too much. What else is there to do but weep? Mary turns from the angel, sensing someone standing there, and she sees Jesus. But she doesn't know it's him. Perhaps the tears in her eyes have clouded her vision, or more probably, her mind, which has told her that Jesus is dead. Her mind tells her that's not Jesus standing before her. Jesus addresses that emotion that he sees also. He asks her as well, "Woman, why are you weeping?" But he goes further. He says, "Whom are you looking for?" And Mary adds to the answer she gave to the angels, and she says, "If you know where they have taken his body, if you have taken his body, tell me where it is, and I will take it away." Then Jesus says her name, and the clouds lift from her eyes, and she clearly sees exactly who it is standing before her. The shepherd has called his sheep by name, and she knows who he is. She cries out, "Rabboni," and makes it clear that she is about to touch him in some way, because Jesus quickly says, "Do not cling to me. I have not yet ascended to my Father." That is the important news that he wants her to carry to the disciples. Not so much that he is risen, but that he is going to ascend to the Father. "Say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary's tears are dry now, unless she is crying tears of joy. And she goes and she tells them, "I have seen the Lord." She tells them what he had told her to say to them. And this story has been told ever since. The story of tears of mourning turned to joy. This story of a tomb that could not hold him, of death defeated, of believing in the heart of a God who was with us and who is with us. Of God, his God, and our God, his Father and our Father. It's a beautiful story. Beautiful story. And Mary and Peter and the other disciple, they had these stories to tell because they showed up. They showed up that day. Mary showing up before the sun was up, not knowing why, not imagining that she was about to experience the presence of her Lord and teacher. Peter and the other disciple racing to the tomb at the insistence of a friend, expecting to apply logic and reason to the situation and finding instead a miracle. I suspect that there might be some of us today who showed up expecting to experience Jesus here. A few might be expecting a miracle. I'm so glad you came today. But some of us, might be more skeptical. Some might be here out of habit or a feeling that this is just where you're supposed to be. Maybe it's where your family expects you to be today. But you yourself might not be sure about this story. You might not be sure you believe it. I'm glad you came today too. Because just as Mary showed up that morning, just as Peter and the other disciples showed up that morning, I believe that showing up sometimes puts us in the direct line of an experience with Jesus. In the direct line of experiencing a miracle. Something we can't explain, but something we know to be true. This can happen out in the world for sure. It can happen anywhere, but I think that it definitely can happen here in church. With others sitting beside you who are believers, others who are seekers, others who are skeptics, and they're not very easy to tell apart. Those who are sure and those who are unsure, those who have showed up to see what happens in God's house today and who just might leave with a story of their own to tell. Here in church, we gather to hear these stories of our Father, our Savior, our Comforter. Stories of God and His people. Stories of hope and love and grace and forgiveness and promise. But we also gather to sing the hymns we love, the hymns we don't know, the hymns whose words all of a sudden leap off the page of the hymnal in a new and different way. We gather to sit with each other, to pray with each other, to pray for each other, to learn together, to grow together, to become knit together as a family. We gather in a space which might be very familiar, or it might be new, where the view from your seat might be one that you cherish week in and week out, or it may be a new vantage point on the world, where we pick up our hymnals and we find the pages that have words of creeds and prayers and liturgy and order. And we gather where we can come to this rail, where we can come to this rail and remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where we can remember His words, His actions, and where, even better, we can place the bread tinged with that bitter wine on our tongues and say, "We do this in remembrance." And we can feel and we can taste something solid and tactile that touches something indescribable and invisible inside of us. Sometimes it is hard to show up. We don't know what we are looking for. We don't know what we might find. But sometimes showing up is all that it takes to experience Jesus Christ. Sometimes showing up is all that it takes to be a witness to a miracle. And sometimes showing up leaves us with a story to tell. So my prayer for us today is that all of our stories might be told to the glory of God in the name of Jesus Christ with the power and the conviction that only the Holy Spirit can provide. Today and every day that we show up. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that You showed up for us. It was not enough to sit in heaven and love us and want to be our God. But You came to earth and You walked with us and You showed us what it means to live Your way. And Lord, today, whether we are the most faithful of believers without a doubt in our mind, or if we are the most skeptical cynic, we just ask You to show up in a way that we would all know that we have been in Your presence. And that we can take that with us into this world. And that we can tell our stories. And that we can make a difference. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.